Our next guest joins us from Long Island, where it's been very wet of late. Luke Elvey, the Aussie Canmore local and golf broadcaster. What's the latest from Bethpage Black? You're out there today. How are conditions?
Ryan, how are you? Good afternoon and to all your listeners. Terrific news out here from Bethpage Black. All the rain that we've had, and there's been some 2 inches in the last 48 hours fall on the property, the golf course is in wonderful condition and I would say surprisingly brilliant. Yes, it's a little soft underfoot, but the greens are firm and fast, and this championship layout is set up superbly for what's going to be an exciting 101st PGA Championship.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I mean, what a slate this year. First off, you get the schedule change, but then Pebble's going to host the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black, which has already hosted two U.S. Opens. Where do you see this coming in on the difficulty spectrum between how this course was set up for the Barclays and, of course, the crazy USGA setup for the U.S. Opens?
A good question. I think it would sit probably quite comfortably right in the middle. The Barclays was a stern test. Anyone played in that tournament said Bethpage played tough, but you had scores around 10 to 12 under par. But for the major at the US Open, or the last two, excuse me, even par was a wonderful score. In fact, there's only been six scores under par in those two US Opens. So I think we're looking for a score around about six under, maybe seven. If someone gets hot, they could get it to double digits. But overall, Kerry Hagan, the PGA tournament committee that set up the golf course, they do an outstanding job. Each and every year, their championship test brings out the best player, and that's exactly what you want in majors.
Fair enough. That's we like that when the best player wins, for sure. Where are more eyeballs for you this weekend? Is it Tiger watch coming off the Masters win, or is it Rory, who's had great form most of the season, or maybe Dustin Johnson, where you could certainly see a major edge there with his distance off the tee?
It's incredible. You've mentioned three outstanding players who all deserve to be in the top five favourites, but the one that I'm looking at the most is on Brooks Koepka. He went back-to-back on Long Island when he won the US Open at Shinnecock last summer. And the way he's playing, the way he has performed in major championships in the last 2 years, to me, he deserves to be the clear favourite. And yes, Tiger is the story coming off that Masters triumph. That was just one of the moments for the ages of sport, wasn't it? And he will be right there, in my opinion, this week, because his ball striking, tee to green, he is the best on tour this year, particularly with his irons. He's back in that respect where he's dominating the field that way. And this is that kind of golf course. The one thing Tiger gives up to the likes of a Dustin Johnson or a Brooks Koepka or a Rory McIlroy is about 20 yards off the tee when he needs it. And given the cold temperatures out here, and we know what Tiger fights with his back, it's probably going to play against him more than it would have at an Augusta National. Plus, the fairways are a lot tighter here at Bethpage Black than they are at Augusta. However, I do feel that he should be right amongst the action when this championship is decided on Sunday night. But if you were to ask me clear up who's the favourite in my eyes, I'm going for Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, fair enough. And you know what? You nailed it. I mean, how it does feel bizarre to not have him as the guy that everyone's watching, and yet there he is, not really one of the favorites in Vegas, nor if you're doing, you know, daily fantasy. It seems, I don't know if he's being disrespected, but maybe it speaks to just the health of the game. When Tiger's rolling, when Dustin Johnson's skill set is what it is, and when Rory's having the type of season that he's put together.
Very true, but, you know, Brooks came off a near win last week in Dallas. He pushed Tiger all the way. He was the one at the end of the Masters that could have changed the outcome of Tiger's dramatic victory. You go back to the way he won the PGA last year at Bellerive in St. Louis, defeating Adam Scott, and then obviously Tiger getting second there. In all the other majors he's played, on top of the ones that he's won, he's been right there with the exception of Carnoustie last year, where he tied for 59th. Every single major. I mean, the guy's turned into the major machine. He's almost like the modern-day Tiger, the way he plays these majors. And he's told us about his mindset today in the media conference. He said, I get to these events more confident because I know there's probably only about 10 to 15 people that can truly win them. Hmm. And when you feel like that in your mind, he knows that he's one of the top of those 10 to 15. Well, his eyeballs just light up. And he's one of those guys that when the pressure comes on, his game gets better. He elevates as a player. His focus gets sharper. and he pulls out the shots. I mean, we can go through any of those three majors that he's won, and even the Masters last month, and talk about so many brilliant shots that he hit under the gun. He's just grown into that style of player.
Why is this course so tough? The 2 years it hosted the U.S. Open, it was far and away the most difficult track that they played, even when it hosted a more friendly Barclays tournament, and it was a par 71, not a 70. It was still a difficult track. What makes Bethpage Black so challenging?
Okay, so for a par 70 layout to be 7,500 yards, it's a monster. It's very long. The fairways are about half the width of what you'd normally see at a tour event, and about a third of the width of what you'd see at Augusta National, 18 to 25 paces wide. The rough is very thick. You've got to carry the ball in the air in every shot. There's no way to roll a ball onto the surface. You can't run shots on. If you're out of position off the tee, you get a full shot penalty coming out of the rough, coming out of bunkers. And the other big factor here is that a lot of the greens are elevated. So you've got to fly the ball the whole way. And if you're in the rough, you can't actually get it to the green. But before the green is like 30 yards of rough or big swallows or huge bunkers, it's all ball in the air golf course. You've got to hit it an awfully long way. You've got to hit it so straight, and you cannot shortside yourself. One of the great parts of Tillinghast design golf course is that most of the greens slope from back to front, and there's little runoffs beyond it. So if you happen to go a little bit long, you end up with a really difficult up and down.
Yeah.
So you've got to be underneath the hole or hole high with your approach shots. That's why I really favour the great ball strikers and the iron players, particularly Tiger, particularly Brooks, in this one this week.
Boy, I'm looking at the seventh hole, 524 yards. It's a par four. Like, this is nutty. I think someone was noting on Twitter that it is a soft course, as you said, not soggy, but soft, which means you're not going to get a ton of runoff drives. Tiger had, 250 in for a second shot? Like, yikes.
Yeah. Well, that's a converted par five for the people that get to play Bethpage Black. We know it's a Muni golf course. You can sleep in your car overnight, get a tee time and have a test. And that's why it works so well here in New York, because it becomes a place where you can walk in the footsteps of champions. I spoke to a lot of the locals walking around the course today, and how many of them actually come out to test themselves against this golf course because Tiger's won here. Major championships have been decided here. Big championships, as you mentioned, with the Barclays have been decided here. They want to come out and test themselves where the best in the world play. And, you know, it's a really stern test. There's no question. I can't see a bolt from the blue winning this week. If you're not the top 10 to 15 players in the world, it's highly unlikely you're going to contend. It really asks of the all-stars to get it done.
Yeah, no, you need that, as you noted, accuracy plus considerable distance. And then the other thing that seems to be showing up with people running sort of statistical models, your ability to get up and down from great distance, let's say 75 to 100 yards. So if you are in the rough and that one stroke penalty you speak of, I mean, can you get up and down from 85 yards? I mean, is there anyone
that takes great precision or a bit of luck, to be honest?
Yeah.
The rough is so thick and the greens have that slope on it that you can't control the ball out of the rough. It really, like, this is not a scrambler's golf course. If you've got a great short game, it doesn't help you here.
Hmm.
You are basically at the mercy of the lie you get and where the holes are cut. It is that hard.
Who do you love in terms of just a skill set? Because you've talked about Brooks's mental game and all these guys, let's say the top 5-10 in the world, as you've alluded to, like, they all can hit it a ton, or most of them can, and they're all guys that clearly have won before. But is there a particular skill set of maybe that mid-range guy? I know you said you don't see a long shot hitting, but is there someone mid-range that profiles well? One of the names I've heard is Patrick Reed, who's done really well on long, difficult courses.
Well, he won the Barclays here in 2016. His short game's great. His game's starting to come back into some pretty decent form. I think he would have a good week. But I'd fancy, again, like the man who won in 2009, a Lucas Glover, someone who's a ball striker. You need to be tee to green here, the best player that week. The guys who scramble, as I said, aren't going to do as well. So, you know, Xander Schauffele's shown himself to be a wonderful player on big stages. He also tied second at the Masters. Tony Finau's proven himself to be a top 10 merchant at majors as well. He's got all the power and length that you need, and he doesn't seem to fret for these occasions. you know, Ryan, we could probably go through 30 guys on tour that, you know, sit in that sort of mid-range category. If they don't hit the golf ball over 315 yards and aren't one of the better players in the world, tee to green, and they're usually the top 15 players in the world, they're not going to contend, unfortunately, because the guys who are all in that top 15 in the world.
Yeah, fair enough. What are your expectations for the weekend? It sounds like surprisingly held up well to all the moisture. We're going to get a little bit Thursday, but then it looks like the weekend sunny. Is that still the forecast?
Yes, and warmer too, which is great. And I just spoke to the tournament director and course setup guy for the PGA of America, Kerry Haig. And he loves where the golf course is at right now. And with a warmer temperatures coming on the weekend, it should just really firm itself up and get into that perfect position for when this championship's decided on Sunday night. And you think about it, New York, major sports town or city in the entire country, the best players in the world all competing at the highest level. Tiger Woods coming off a last start major victory. I mean, this is the perfect storm for the PGA moving to May. It literally couldn't work out any better. And I just think everyone who's going to be watching this championship on CBS all around the world, they are going to see one heck of a major being played. I mean, this major year was always set up like it was going to be exciting, but given what Tiger's just done at Augusta National, this will be another absolute doozy, and I can't wait.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more. Luke Alvey joining us at Luke_Alvey, ELVY on Twitter. Last one for you, sir. Just a thought on exactly what your role will be and maybe a bold proclamation. Do we see... you know, you clearly like Brooks, but is this a runaway? Is this tight down to the end?
I would expect it to be a tight one. I mean, there's other names I could mention, like a John Rahm, who's really stepping up on the world stage. Bryson DeChambeau, the way he works out this golf course. I know he's not playing his best golf at the moment, but he's got that sort of aptitude that he could find a way to get it done. I mentioned Xander Schauffele as well and Tony Finau as my two guys that you probably don't mention as much. Sergio Garcia is another big one. He's starting to get his game back into the shape that saw him win the green jacket a couple of years ago, and he's an outstanding iron player. Tee to green, very good. He might be another one that could just hover around the lead at the right time. And then if I'm being parochial, a Jason Day or an Adam Scott as well, all have the right to be there or thereabouts on Sunday. But if I'm picking a horse, I'm picking Brooks to beat Tiger, with Dustin and Rory close by. I mean, that's another dream leaderboard if you want it to be that case. And that's going to be huge when I get to do it for CBS Sports. We're doing the digital coverage. You've got feature group coverage on both PGA.com and DirecTV. I'll also do that for Turner Sports on feature group one. And then we get to wrap it all up with the post-game show on CBS Sports Network. So it's a big week, but it's an exciting week, Ryan, and I can't wait to bring some of the action to all the fans back home in Canada.
Thanks so much for doing this for us. So glad that you're there. You're so great at what you do and love the insight on the tournament. Thanks, man.
My pleasure, Ryan. Thank you.